The Guardian.
The Guardian Books Podcast with Claire Armistead.
Hello and welcome to this week's podcast, which has a watery theme from The Rime of the Ancient Mariner to the UK's first ever Festival of the Sea as imagined by this week's two studio guests, the writer Ian Sinclair and the writer and artist Rachel Lichtenstein.
We're going to take a swan pedalo from Hastings and pedal it all the way across, around the sea to Rye, to the Olympic site.
We'll be topping it all off with a visit to a narrow boat, a rather unusual way of selling books. But first to our studio guests, Rachel Lichtenstein and Ian Sinclair, who first worked together on Radinsky's Room, an oral history of Spitalfields in London's East End. They've teamed up again this weekend for the Shorelines Festival, a two-day tidal wave of literature and performance which will flood the seaside town of Southend-on-Sea this weekend. Rachel, I suggested that you and Ian were behind the festival. Actually, that's strictly speaking inaccurate. It's you and the poet Lem Cissé, isn't it?
That's correct. It was actually Lem Cissé's concept. He came for a visit to Chalkwell Hall in Chalkwell Park, where the festival is taking place. This beautiful old manor house, high up on a hill overlooking the estuary. And whilst he was there, he had this kind of thunderbolt idea. Wouldn't this be the perfect location for a festival of literature of the sea? And everyone was very excited by the idea.
Did you know about Southend before?
Yes, I live there.
Oh, you actually live
yes,
there?
Yes, I am an Essex girl.
Okay.
I'm an Essex girl, and then I lived in London for a very long time and moved back about 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ian, we think of you as a London man, East London, but of course the estuary begins in East London, doesn't it?
Yes, very much part of East London. I feel it's an extension, and Rachel, the community that Rachel grew up in that she describes very often, back to her grandfather, is simply an extension of the East End, moved out. There is a kind of migration. And the excited conversation that was going on in the rooms of these houses, the babble of Yiddish people coming out from East London to visit, is exactly a magical transposition of London into a seascape. And that's the element of it that excites me.
Have you walked this? You're a very famous walker, aren't you?
I have walked it. I've walked from Aldgate Pump, down a road which has long fascinated me, the A13. I walked all the way to Southend, sticking as close as you could to the river, through the scrapyards, all the retail developments, over the top of Beckton Alp, this wonderful mountain made of arsenic on which they had a ski slope, and all the way down to Lee-on-Sea, where this event took place, and eating fish on the foreshore at Lee-on-Sea, and thinking of the fact that I knew Rachel now lived there somewhere, having been such a guiding spirit in all these projects around Spitalfields for so many years and doing oral histories there with people like David Dean mm-hmm. and Bill Fishman.
Mm-hmm. Before we get on to the specifics of the festival, let's just talk a little bit about what the inspiration of the sea is. Do you think the fact that we're an island nation means that it's particularly important to us?
I really do, and I think as British people we don't necessarily think of that all the time, but when we go abroad that's how we're perceived as an island nation, and you're never far from the coast. I could have curated this festival 1,000 times over because there's barely a writer who hasn't written about the sea or the river or the estuary or the coastline in some form or another.
As part of this, you've actually made a film which is going to be on exhibition at Chalkwell Hall, called Estuary, and you quote Conrad in it.
Yes.
Tell us about that side of it, the sort of high literary end.
Well, I think first of all, when I thought about the festival, Conrad was one of the first writers that came to mind with Heart of Darkness and Mirror of the Sea, which is quoted in this book, where he takes a journey down the estuary coming in from the North Sea and up towards London in 1906, which mirrors exactly a journey that I've just very recently taken as part of a estuary project, which was an artist-initiated project, five-day experiential journey from Tower Hill down to Southend along the Thames on an 80-foot Dutch barge.
And this is the journey that's chronicled in the film?
Absolutely. So it's a collaboration between a filmmaker called James Price and myself, who's written the words, examining the same territory that Conrad visited almost 100 years ago and seeing how it's changed, and being very aware what a kind of shifting landscape the estuary is.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting to say also that Joseph Conrad, when he came back from his collapse in the Congo, he'd had this appalling treatment with the Belgian company and seen the awful conditions there. He had a mental and physical collapse. But where he came back to was the German hospital in Dalston. He's in Graham Road in Dalston. And there, the very idea of the Heart of Darkness begins to cook. So the triangulation between the Congo, the Thames, and Dalston itself as being the real Heart of Darkness is made at that point. And this Festival of Rachel seems beautifully to conjure notions of these imperial ghosts and the great writers of the past into the fact of the Thames estuary, which endlessly reinvents itself in every culture and every age.
Now, I had a really interesting conversation with someone a couple of years ago about genres that were untranslatable. And one of them was a Portuguese genre, which is the mourning widow when the shipwreck sailor fails to come home, which apparently is a literary genre. Do you think we have those? I mean, you can think of J.M. Singh and the island he
created.
There are
several Conrad stories that do this. It is a theme, and it seems to be a theme often in the northeast of Britain, I think, because with the fishing fleets, it's so much a thing of the whole generation of males just disappearing into the sea and the strong women coming back, and there's been a writing around that. I don't know if that has any connection to this particular festival, but the thing with this festival, once the idea of the sea was floated, I mean, there was so much work on all sides. I mean, I don't know how you curated it down into enough to fit into a couple of days.
Exactly, because there's just so much. And of course, the sea as a concept covers such huge themes. Mm. Discovery, survival, migration, loss, drama. There's so much. And when I first started to think about that, there's lots of classic texts that possibly came to mind, you know, things like Moby Dick and Treasure Island and The Tempest, and a lot of them seem to focus on actually being out at sea and have mainly male protagonists.
They're also grounded in London and the Thames as well, because the whole idea of The Tempest then sort of infects Shakespeare, and you have John Dee, who supposedly suggests the magician in The Tempest, and he is cast out down the river to go to Poland and practice alchemy in the court of King Rudolf. Moby Dick has a passage in which Melville himself was in London and saw this painted sign for whale oil, and that the whale oil was cooked up on Bugsby's Marshes, which is now the site where the Millennium Dome is, and the beautiful pale golden light of whale oil that lit up London made it a magical city for painters. The relation of that family, it was a family called Bicknell who had the monopoly, was actually a guy who walked around the M25 with me and discovered that the patron of whale oil had become a friend of Turner and commissioned a series of paintings of whales, and fell out with Turner when he came down to his house in Herne Hill. And Bicknell took out his handkerchief and took off a corner of the painting, so I think we can improve a bit here, and started to repaint it. So astonishingly, how London and the sea and the river are all absolutely integrated and haunt us writers forever.
Rachel, you have the world at your fingertips. How, as Ian asked, have you managed to curate it down and into a sort of essential whale oil of a festival?
Well, Metal is an arts organisation headed by Duke Kelly of the South Bank Centre. They have various different bases, one in Liverpool, and then a few years ago they arrived in Southend-on-Sea. The kind of concept of Metal is to be an artistic laboratory for new creative ideas. They're very multidisciplinary and they really try and reach out into the community as well. So I knew collaborating with Metal, this would be a very different type of literary festival to ones that maybe I've been involved with before. So first of all, we started to think, how can we maybe bring people into literature who wouldn't normally visit a literature festival? So we're starting off by having film adaptations for children in the morning at the festival. And then we're also having theatre productions of famous works like The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, and Magpie Blue Productions are doing this fantastic production of Old Man and the Sea. There's poetry, there's artworks. There's been a really successful poetry competition for local school children with over 1,000 different entries. So hopefully those school children will bring their parents along who maybe haven't visited a festival before. Mm-hmm. And I wanted it to have a really international flavour as well. So we've got some really acclaimed writers coming from as far away as China and Iceland, Sri Lanka, America, along with some local Essex-based writers. I'm really excited. We've got a speaker called Paul Gilson, who is a local fisherman from Lyon-Sea who's just starting to work with a publisher to write up his own stories of being a fisherman there for the past 30 years. So I think there'll be something there for absolutely everybody. Mm-hmm. There's going to be an open-air production of The Tempest in the park, storytelling for children.
So Ian, what about you? Now, you and Robert McFarlane, who of course won the first Guardian First Book Prize, are two of the better-known contributors. What are you going to be talking about?
Well, I'm going to be talking about the sea within the city, the concepts of the sea that haunt the city, and the reason that London survives as a marine city, and the way that we've revived ourselves all the time by the legends of people who've come here, like Pocahontas obviously comes as an exotic out of the American forest, and then when she's forcibly sent back, she dies at Gravesend, brought ashore at exactly the point where Conrad's Heart of Darkness boat is waiting to go. And shadowing all this is a project I'm involved with, a nautical project myself, with the filmmaker Andrew Cotting. We're going to take a swan pedalo from Hastings and pedal it all the way across, around the sea to Rye, and then across Kent by back rivers and military canals.
Oh my goodness.
Up to the Thames to the Olympic site. This is a kind of mega epic 6-week anti-Olympic fast, but is a complete marine project, kind of rescuing the seaside and bringing it into London. And I think the symbol of the swan and the madness of doing all this will hopefully initiate a series of dialogues and conversations with people along the way. It's not directly related to the festival, but in a sense, the kind of thing the festival is doing was one of the inspirations for the idea that you would go to the seaside and bring the seaside to London, which is what I'll be trying to do in the bit that I talk about on the day with Robert McFarlane and Jay Griffiths and Rachel and all of these other luminaries that are turning up in Chalkwell.
So, Rachel, this isn't just about 2 days in Southend-on-Sea, is it? It's more ambitious than that.
Well, hopefully this will be the first of many. I mean, it really is the perfect location to have this type of literary festival. Maybe more so because Southend isn't somewhere that people think of as being a great cultural hub. But there's a lot of artists and writers moving there. I've been running a series of literary salons from Chalkwell Hall for the past couple of years, which Ian and Robert McFarlane and various other writers have visited. And there's a great interest there. What was particularly exciting for me about having the festival there is the idea that it's utterly immersive. You know, you're there, you're looking at the sea, you can kind of smell it, taste it, you can go on a coastal walk, come back, see a performance, be part of it, get involved.
And as well as Chalkwell Hall, which is, what is it, a great big Victorian pile or something?
Chalkwell Hall is a 19th century manor house set in a public park that has become the headquarters for METAL, this arts organisation. Mm-hmm. But the festival will actually be happening in a very large temporary venue in the park.
I should say the manor itself has a fantastic atmosphere. It was so unlikely when I pounded up there on the road and then found this thing in what seemed to be a municipal park, and suddenly you drop into this sort of pre-Raphaelite salon with cushions and excited people and terraces something is just so unexpected. It's just standing off the A13 down to Southend, a cultural beacon of every sort.
Fantastic. Well, just before we leave this, let's go and take a look at some of the work that's been done on the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
Sailor call on the mariner, shoot the albatross with his arrow, and everybody, all the other sailors, were very angry about him, and then darkness came and like death started.
And he had to hang the albatross upon his neck.
We're really excited by the idea of people, and young people particularly, understanding poetry, and particularly in a way feeling they can own classical poetry, because it's often thought to be harder, but it's part of our heritage. So we had the idea that we would take the Ancient Mariner. It would make a wonderful project for children.
He'll shrieve my soul. He'll shrieve my soul. He'll wash away.
Shrieved. I didn't know from the part where it says he'll shrieve his soul, and I didn't know what shrieved meant before. It's kind of like purifying, making a fresh start.
In the Dash of Oars, I hadn't had of
the Dash of Oars.
I've never heard of that thing before. I didn't know what it was until Kira explained it to me.
Yeah.
when you're rowing a boat and you're using your oars quite fastly, maybe. I think that might be it.
Yeah. Sure.
I think their favourite is Our Well A Day. In every school, Our Well A Day. Really, really good. I mean, it's got such a strong, dramatic kind of story there. They love the evil looks. They love the fact that they're part of the action, so they're singing as if they are the crew.
Are you ready? What's our first word?
There's been such a massive increase in confidence over the 5 weeks. It's really amazing to see. It's really, really exciting to see that some of them who are a bit scared of singing or didn't want to be heard are suddenly there singing out and really going for it.
For all the bird I had killed the bird that made the breeze to blow. Ah, wretch, said they. The bird to slay that made the breeze to blow.
My excitement is that the children, they'll know this forever now. Interestingly, I said to my father the other day, we're doing The Ancient Mariner, and he immediately quoted me four lines that he'd learned when he was 12. He learned the whole poem. And that idea that children can get a very deep involvement in a long, complex philosophical piece like Ancient Mariner, I can already see that they feel excited about that. They feel that they own it. They feel very much as if it belongs to them now.
It's a very good experience in doing The Ancient Mariner. This is like just once in a lifetime thing that can happen to us. And maybe when we're older, we can share this experience with different kinds of people.
That was The Rime of the Ancient Mariner as performed at the South Bank Centre. It's being remounted with students from Chalkwell Hall Junior School and will be performed on Saturday night. The Shorelines Festival is at Southend-on-Sea on the Thames Estuary from tonight, Friday, July the 15th to Sunday. Now, from the sea, we turn to those other waterways that were so central to the commercial life of the UK, its canals. We looked out of the window in King's Cross one day last week to find an unfamiliar boat tied up on the Regent's Canal. It was the Book Barge, so we dispatched Richard Lee to find out exactly what was going on.
So I've stepped outside the office for a whole 50 yards where I've discovered on the canal a barge full of books. It's called the Book Barge, and here's the owner. Introduce yourself, first of all.
Hi, my name's Sarah Henshaw.
And what took it upon you to set up a bookshop on a barge, Sarah?
I just thought it'd be an interesting and cheaper way, actually, to set up an independent bookshop. And I thought the novelty value of having it in a like unique space would help like get customers on in a time when independent bookshops especially are really, really struggling to keep customers.
So have you got a minute to show us around?
I do, yes. Come on board.
Let's step on board.
Oh, so
coming down in here. Just about tall enough to stand up in, which is very nice.
Yeah, it's just over 6 foot, isn't it?
And we've got a nice wooden floor here with a duck on, I see.
Laminate flooring, yeah, shelves covering the entire walls. And most of the books are displayed face on because there's a slight incline on the walls. But
well, so the shelves would fall off otherwise, would they?
Yeah, or they'd have to just come out really wide and it would take up a bit more space. It would be narrower than it already is being on a narrow boat.
Being as how we're on a canal, I'm delighted to see there's a book by Lee Rourke called The Canal.
He was here last Thursday for a book signing and book club event.
Yeah. Obviously the winner of the Guardian Not Booker Prize last year, as I'm sure you're aware. What else we've got here? We've got Don DeLillo on the shelves.
Purely for the covers, yeah, and these pulp fiction covers I like to. Yeah.
Do you have a particular passion?
Russian literature, which is down there in the corner.
Where's Russian?
It gets
Let's go
largely
find it.
Bypassed.
It's behind the deck chair. So talk us through your Russian book section.
It's only a very small section because it's not very profitable for me. But yeah, there's all the classics and there's a few new ones as well. Obviously Boris Akunin is quite commercially successful, so that sells all right-ish. Kirchhoff is not actually Russian, but fits in there. And the Russian Criminal Tattoo encyclopedias, there's a whole, I think there's three or four volumes they sell.
And there's a desk now coming up here in the middle of the boat, which is lurching slightly alarmingly under our feet as we go.
A whiteboard listing things I need, because for the next 6 months I'm trying to live off books, so barter.
So today you need to swap?
I need to swap some books. This is a big ask. I need to swap a hell of a lot of books, I think, for a marine engineer to come.
One to come and live with you, or
just to come and fix some engine problems I'm having.
I can hear the engine purring sweetly now. What's up with the engine?
I had a break in about 3 weeks ago, and I've had battery problems ever since.
But what did the thieves take?
They trashed the place, actually. So took the entire contents of the till, camera, lots of engine stuff. I shall press forward to Bath and Bristol from next week.
How long will it take you to get from London to Bath?
I'm hoping to do it in about 2 or 3 weeks. I'll just amble along and stop at places along the way.
Selling books along the way?
Selling books along the way, yeah.
So moving down towards the front of both, yeah. We've got a sofa area.
Bed.
You're living in here.
I'm living in here few nights a week.
That's very narrow, but does it pull
out? It's
very
narrow, and it doesn't pull out. It's very hard. It's the cushion's made of roofing insulation foam, so there's not much comfort in there.
So what, you're sleeping there every night, or?
Most nights. I would say about 4 out of 7 nights, and the rest of the time I'm swapping books for spare bedrooms or sofas.
So it's a kind of barter system you've
got
going.
It is, yeah. As well as people can use it in the normal way as well. So you can use cash or card, or you can make me an offer.
How have you found selling books on the water?
Fine, actually. No problem at all. When I'm moving along, obviously, it's kind of hard. It's feel a bit like an ice cream van. Kind of stop me and buy. But it goes at a nice enough pace that you can have conversations with people on the tow path as you're going along.
So you've actually fulfilled orders as you're going along, chucking the boat like a newspaper delivery man.
Yes. And I've done a few orders of people who I've met who are just having days out further along the canal, and then they'll order books in and they'll deliver them when I get to their destination in like 2 or 3 weeks. So it's worked out well.
You're not selling The Old Man and the Sea?
Yeah, Hemingway sounds. Any kind of water-based book or title goes down pretty well.
Have you found your own reading has changed whilst you've been on the water?
Yes, I'm now reading like narrowboat travelogues. At the moment I'm reading one about a guy who went round Britain in a bowler hat. It's called A Voyage in a Bowler Hat, I think. And this was written about 20 or 30 years ago, which I would never have picked up.
And so do you think the independent bookseller is going to survive with people like you taking it onto the high seas?
I think so. You have to go out of your way if you want to, like, compete with the likes of Amazon and compete with big supermarkets. So yeah, if you can offer a unique shopping experience rather than try and beat like bigger companies on price, then I think you'll do okay.
Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
That was Richard Lee aboard the Book Barge. I'm joined now by Lindsay Irving from the Guardian Books team to tell us what else there is to look forward to in the coming week.
Well, as regular visitors to the Books website will know, Sarah Crown has this week relaunched a bloggier version of the Books blog, in which she's already talked about the literature of water and the Shorelines Festival. We've also launched the hunt for the 10th title for this year's long list of the Guardian First Book Prize. There's lots of suggestions coming in there. Do please join the conversation if you've read anything you think has been missed off our list of the books that have come in from publishers. Back on dry land, almost. Ian Sinclair is the subject of the Guardian Review's front page piece on Saturday in an essay by a fellow Shorelines contributor, Robert McFarlane. And the Observer New Review will be touring the 10 most popular holiday destinations looking for the books you should take with you this weekend.
Lots of stuff to look forward to there. Thanks very much, Lindsay. Thanks also to Richard Lee, Ian Sinclair, Rachel Lichtenstein and our producer, Ian Chambers. I'm Claire Armistead. Goodbye.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.